Well met, friends. My name is Adam, and this is the Get Pipe Podcast, where we love to pipe. And today, well, as always, I am joined by my good friend Nick, a.k.a. The Producer Guy. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Adam. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Man, it's been, right? This is... March has been very busy for me. You guys have very much been tracking that because I've been talking about it, how busy we've been with all the What's Up in Smoke kind of thing going on. I've been traveling here, traveling there, traveling next week. But man, it has been, and it's like one of those things where you plan all these fun things, then you find like, man, I just need time. And I don't know what the time is to do. Maybe it's just to sit at home, relax, smoke a pipe, but I don't know. I haven't been getting a lot of that. And with all the wrenches thrown from like the leaks and the cars and the demolishment of coyotes on Highway 95 South or whatever, you know, it's just been a lot, man. And yeah, I don't know. So we're getting through it. It's been one of those, we're going through it. The puppy
season.
Yeah, you know, I'm just, it's happening. It's happening, but I'm actually decent today. I think when you ask me how I'm doing, I'm kind of referring to the past week or so. A couple ups, a lot of downs, but currently speaking, I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling a little solid right now. How about you, man?
Good, man. I'm doing well. Tired today. I can see it in my eyes. You know what I mean? Like you can, sometimes you're getting ready in the morning and you're washing your face or shaving or doing whatever. And then you kind of look up and you like meet yourself in the eyes. Like you make eye contact with yourself and you're like, what the, like, who is that? Like, do you ever have those moments where it's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? It's not like I stayed up late. It's not like I had any drinks or whatever. It's just like, you kind of get a glimpse of who you are and what you've become.
That was me on Tuesday. We had a longer weekend. I had Monday off. So I was really excited for Tuesday to get back into the swing of things and got a good night's sleep. I think we went to bed before 9:30, you know, really good stuff. Woo. And I had to get up around 6-ish, but that's solid sleep. And I think I slept pretty well for the most part. But man, I don't know. Not necessarily I saw the tiredness, but I felt it. And it wasn't like I was sleepy or fatigued. I just felt like I was in someone else's skin. It was very weird, a very weird feeling where I was like, man, I am just exhausted from all of the traveling and excitement. And I really wanted this day to be back on my game, back on my path. And it just was not that way. I remember my plan was to do like a longer run in the morning to really get the sweat going at PT. We're back on the morning PT. If I don't know if I told you guys that. But it didn't happen. I'm not gonna lie. So to all my soldiers, if I hope none of my soldiers are listening to this, but if any of my previous soldiers or any of the soldiers out there, which there are definitely some, you know, don't let Captain Floyd sham out in his car. But I just couldn't. I just sat there and I was like, okay, let me drink this coffee. You know, it's six formations over. I'll maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'll get on my run, and I just never did. I was doom scrolling. You know, I got caught. What caught me. I just couldn't get out of the car. I was like, man, I am way too tired. So that did not subside until the next day. The next day I felt a little bit better, but yeah, it's still kind of lingering, but today was the first day where I was like, wow, I have some good energy and I put it to good use today. So, and I'm liking to think that good. I'm putting it to good use now. So I'm really excited to get into this episode. But
yeah. Well, the thing is, there's been a lot of good stuff that has happened, right? We're not trying to be all down in the dumps here. There's some great stuff that's happened. Like, you had a phenomenal St. Patrick's Day weekend.
I did,
correct?
Man. It was so much better than last year's. And part of it was last year I was so much looking forward to going to Muletown. And you guys remember the song if you were listening, you know, about 365, you know, ago. But I was really bummed, but it was good to hang out with my pals that I miss so much. So I didn't necessarily regret the trip, but there was something about it that just was significantly different than this one. And I don't know. I think I just was really looking forward to this, and we were set up for success. It was wonderful. I actually got to go to the parade this year. I think last year maybe I left on Saturday and I missed the parade, so we get to see the big Savannah St. Patrick's Day parade. And I remember my buddy's in the parade because he's in the Ranger regiment down there. And they march through, you know, through the streets, like 3 or 4 miles, kind of a grind, but they march through. And I mean, there's of course so many different things, all St. Patrick's. There was the Clydesdales from Anheuser-Busch. Those guys used to be, you know, stationed, yes, if you may, up in New Hampshire, or Nick and I's hometown. But they've since moved, but it was cool to see them again. Probably different ones, cause that was 20 years ago. But some fresh young Clydesdales were, you know, marching in the parade, a bunch of, you know, Irish American, true Irish Garda were there, you know, RTC cadets, a lot of stuff going on. And it was really, really fun to watch. But I remember my buddy was asking, you know, what was your favorite part of the parade? Like, which float, if you may. And man, it was my buddies. It was so cool seeing, maybe I'm a boot, but it was so cool seeing all the cool guy Army Rangers with their tan berets marching, yes, in perfect sync. And I just, it was kind of revitalizing to my approach in the military, because, you know, doing it every day, you can get a little burnt out, but there's always, like, I always think it's cool to see the cool guys marching by. So, and his girlfriend got to run over and give him a kiss on the smooch on the cheek. Which is like, it's like one, hey, of those things that's not allowed, but all the ladies do it and they just like keep their straight stern, yeah, face and keep on marching. So it was just really, really wholesome. But yeah, man, it was great. We had just an absolute blast, and I enjoyed a maybe not responsible amount of pints of Guinness, but I didn't get sick. I didn't get, you know, drunk, or, you know, I wasn't in shambles. I wasn't causing a ruckus like I'm sure some folks were, you know, across the United States for sure. But I did consume quite my many calories of the best drink in the world. And I also smoked a ton. I remember Saturday, I smoked so freaking much, man. And dude, like, yes, more so than I've ever smoked, but it was perfect because I didn't do it to do it. Sometimes I find myself at pipe shows or pipe events that I'm smoking just to smoke. And while maybe one pipe at a pipe show really accounts for, you know, even 2.5, just because of all the smoke within the area, maybe a cigar is like 3 smokes, I don't quite know what the math is there, but the amount of pipes I smoked, I think I had a breakdown that I shared in the Galactic Get By Pipe Club, but it was like 3 or 4 bowls of LJ Peretti Cuban mixture. It was and this is all again all Saturday, probably 2 bowls of Dutch chocolate from Peretti, one maybe 1.5 bowls of Pride of Loch Lomond, and we were also smoking a lot of American spirits. Now, before, yeah, mom is punching the air because I was smoking cigarettes. A little bit different. It is a whole leaf tobacco. It's essentially like a cheaper form of pipe tobacco. It's a, you know, very pure form. It's actually we were smoking the Perique ones, the black carton, they're Perique cigarettes, and they're fantastic. They really are. And I you guys know me as maybe not the anti-Perique guy these days, but they were wonderful. They were so, so good. We had a ton of those. It was just fun. And I was just hanging out, smoked, I think one cigar, maybe two. And this was again all Saturday, but for some reason it worked. I was staying hydrated. I was getting my like good fluids in, well, in conjunction, yes, with the Guinness. I was eating a lot of calories, which was nice. My mouth was never burnt. I never got tongue bite. I never got nicotine sick. It was crazy. And I was just, ooh, it was, dang, casual. Like, we woke up at 8-ish, or actually I was up by 5-ish, 6-ish. We made a good breakfast, sat outside waiting for the parade. And I'm just casually puffing on my pipe. And I had told you guys my Peterson St. Patrick's Day 2024. Love this pipe. And I feel so bad that I, at one point in time in my head, really disliked this pipe. You can still get them. Go check out tobaccopipes.com, Cup of Joe's, the Smoking Pipes, MBSD. Like, they're out there. If you want to get one, I highly recommend them. But I had the XL 315. It's a slightly bigger bowl. So I was just puffing away quietly, calmly, you know, and really, really enjoying the day. And man, I don't know. It was very fascinating, the amount I smoked, but the very lack of problems it yielded, like at least with my mouth or tongue bite. Like, I still had all my taste, still had all my flavor. Right. So. Yeah, it was a good time, man. It was a really, really good time. Got home, you know, Sunday evening, and we were able to actually celebrate, my wife and I, St. Patrick's Day, on actual St. Patrick's Day at our local, hey, public house. It is a British pub, but it was really, really cool to see everyone in there wearing green, all the, you know, the folks, the bartenders, the wait staff. And we got a full, very delicious corned beef and cabbage had another couple pints again. It's got to end off the, actually that was, Sunday I had zero because I was driving home until, get wife brought me home from the pub, but it was just wonderful, man. It was a great send off. My friends loved the pizza that I got them, the two, Patty's Day 24 versions. Yeah, it was good, man. And it looked like you guys had a good time. You and producer wife, you sent me some photos. What would you guys do?
Yeah. So on Saturday, we attended a small parade, like really small, a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Was it Norfolk?
To be honest. No, it was in a town called Smithfield. Okay. If you know of like Smithfield Hams, like they're a big bacon brand.
Sounds familiar.
And pork brand. Yeah. You would know them if you saw it in the next time you go to the grocery store, look for Smithfield. And anyways, their like corporate headquarters is there. But yeah, it was like started at 10:30, was over by like 10:50.
Oh, I love like, that.
I wanted.
I mean, not for you. It was like, you wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted a little more, but it was still great. So, did that?
I guess from the context of even a small like the fact that they could do something, they did it. They didn't say, "Oh, this isn't going to be long enough. Let's cancel."
Yeah.
That's wholesome. Yeah. But I can see from the perspective of, "Oh, I traveled here. I want to see more stuff."
Right. And so I had my coffee in the morning with a little, a little Tullamore in there. It was great. And there's actually, there's like a Celtic store on the main street, but they had all sorts of like, Celtic is Irish,
yeah, so
correct?
Celtic, nations per se are Scotland, yeah. Wales, and Ireland.
Perfect. Yeah. And so there was like a lot of Scottish stuff, but we had the Guinness Corner. And I did get a Guinness shirt. I didn't get like a jersey or anything, which I wanted to get.
But it was $125 or something crazy.
Dude, yeah. Something crazy like that. But that was great. And then we kind of left the kids at the grandparents' house. And producer wife and I, we went out and just went down Main Street, which is a beautiful Main Street. Went into all these shops. I was smoking my peat,
nice.
My system pipe with some Blackthorn Shillelagh in it. I was like, this is a perfect occasion for it. And man. And unfortunately, it was a bar we went to. I guess it was kind of like a brewery. They weren't serving Guinness. I was very bummed.
Yeah, that'll get you.
But we had a great dinner. Yeah, great dinner, great lunch. And of course, on my way back home, guess what I had to pick up? I got some. Got some Guinness.
Oh, good, good. So you can continue the celebration safely at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Had my share at home. And it was a great, great time, man. So like probably the first time, I guess we never really celebrate, St. Patrick's Day the past couple of years, at least. Like last year, we had a 3-month-old or whatever, however old she was. So it was like, weren't really going out to do much. But, yeah, so it was great. I loved it, and I would love to do it again. So, yeah, it was
dude,
awesome.
I love that. I hope folks listening start to. It seems like folks are starting to celebrate a little bit more. At least the folks in the Galactic Get Piped Pipe Club, the Get Piped community, based on Instagram. You know, it seemed like the folks in our corner, the listeners of the show, have been kind of buying in. They were like, you know what? Okay, I'll smoke my Peterson. I'll get my Blackthorn Shillelagh out. I'll get whatever it is that's somewhat Irish or, Tullamore Dew I saw a lot of, and I can't help but think that, we might have had something to do with that. And that's really fun. Right. Like, and it's good because you get to enjoy yourselves and have fun doing it and be part of something, even maybe you didn't have a parade in your area, but you were still part of your own little pipe smoking parade alongside all of us who were enjoying on Instagram as well and through the Facebooks and whatnot. But yeah, no, I think it was cool, man. And it's good to kind of, settle down from the fun and the hype. And we had a really, really awesome episode that you guys should go check out if you haven't listened to it just yet. But it was good, man. And it's good to kind of tip my flat cap off to St. Patty's Day. And I'm very much now looking forward to next year's and whatever Peterson comes out with for their 2025 version of the St. Patrick's Day pipe. But
that's wild. 2025.
I know, dude.
Quarter of a way through the century.
Dude, 2025 sounds
it's weird to think about.
Like that's a cool year. That's like a year that I would consider getting any kind of pipe of the year.
Yeah.
Because like 2023, 2024, but 2025 just sounds, it's just like a great number.
2026 is the what? 250th anniversary of the United States, right? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. Wow. Not to get political. Yeah, not to get 1776, not to get like political, but I remember I think he was President
Trump.
No, he wasn't. Was he president at the time?
No. That was part of his like campaign to get back was we're going to celebrate. Yeah. No one's going to do it. We're going to do like a 2 years.
We're going to have the greatest celebration, the 250th anniversary. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great.
Which I'm all for, but like, I don't know how much I'm for the taxpayer paying for whatever events he got going on. But if it's like, you know, cheaper entrance to museums, I don't even know if they can control that. I mean,
big celebrations are cool.
But if they were like, you know, there's $700 million going into like this, you know, tent that's going to be held in the middle of Iowa. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't love that. But
yeah.
But if they were to do something cool, like, yeah, like get a, like Washington, D.C. to kind of open up and prices are a little bit cheaper. Get some. I'm sure there's going to be massive parades and stuff, which you could argue is
Guinness.
There should be Guinness. Guinness is, you know, maybe an Irish beer, but. It's got its roots in America now.
All I'm saying is a lot of the foundations of America were founded in pubs and bars and all that
stuff.
Very
true.
I'm just throwing it out there. But yeah, man, there's the, like in conjunction with the idea of celebration is we're kind of celebrating some new stuff coming out of the Seattle Pipe Club, man. I have been able to do my nice drives. I didn't go today. We had some stuff I needed to be home. I was able to work from home, which is good. But man, past couple of days I've been traveling. I got me some Seattle Pipe Club's Gentleman's Rum Vanilla, and it was pretty good. I love the tin note. It's very good. It was one of those ones where a producer wife just saw me at the you know kitchen table or whatever just. Smelling it, and I was like,
"Wicked good, You guys know I was a part of the Seattle Pipe Club, and I kind of hold my roots there. Once a member, always a member. And man, I am so proud of them for doing this. They are not known for their aromatic tobacco. In fact, I saw some of the reviews raving before it even drops. And just because it's not another heavy English blend, I'm all in. 5 stars, and I appreciate that. I mean, they have a bunch of good tasty Virginias that you guys should go check out, but." But yeah, this one's really, really cool. Not only because, and upfront, right? What's the words I'm looking for? Like full disclosure, getting paid $0 to talk about this, right? I have no interest in selling you on Seattle Pipe Club blends. I just like the Seattle Pipe Club. I was a part of it, so I'm excited to talk about this because I know at the time when I was speaking with Matt Gus, who's like he's pretty much the director president of the Seattle Pipe Club itself and the company that is a tobacconist. We all know the master blender, Joe Langford, passed away some years ago at this point, and this is kind of his legacy. Now, people are like, whoa, are we never going to see another blend? No. Joe had so many recipes just made in this like big ass book that I got to see. It's really, really special. I didn't get to like see like the actual items within, but I did see the book and like flip through it really briefly. Not that I would have really known at the time what I was doing, but
you copied everything. You're taking mental photos. You're like,
yeah, we're making the Boston Pipe Club, and I'm just gonna steal all the blends.
Copy it.
No, but
Peretti's like woo, and then they show you their book.
Oh yeah, they're 4 volumes of you know blending from the past, you know,
1 million
years or whatever. But this one was cool because there's in that book, not that I was able to study it, there was very, very few aromatics, but I was quite impressed to see that there were aromatics. And at the time there were no plans really. There weren't really any plans to bring them to light because they are very content with their blends. And they're like, well, we can't put all of these out on the market. We're not trying to just swarm the market with Joe Langford blends. We want them to remain special, and they are right. There is a premium to these tins, and they often come in a heavier size than just 2 ounce or whatever. But they're they're special and they're a high quality leaf. And I know everyone's going to say that, but it's true. And you can ask the people who enjoy their blends, but Aromatics was kind of the back burner. And I was very surprised to hear about this, probably a few months ago. And even the coolest part about it was, when producer guy and I got to actually see this in the barrel before I was talking to president of Sutliff, Jeremy McKenna. I was like, what are the chances we can steal some of the tobacco? I really want to try this before it's out. And he said, zero chance. It's aging in a barrel.
Because it's in a barrel. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dang. Like, can't we just open it? And he's like, no, that's not how barrel age works. So, while we didn't get to actually smoke it at the time, we did get to see it in the barrel, which is just so cool because very few people got to do that. And now you'll never do it because it's now 1 in 10 and, you know,
it's at out.
Your local brick and mortar or online.
Yeah, and I think we probably got some footage of it. It was like, I think it said like SPC, like aromatic or SPC rum something, whatever it was. And like,
it didn't have a full name,
official name or something. Yeah, it was really cool to see that. And then like, I see it coming out. I'm like, oh, that's what it was. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
And then you're like, silly. It was the same exact thing. So. Yeah, it's been good to smoke. It's good, and I love the smell again,
dude. It's like this melony, honeydewy. You know, it's not necessarily vanilla. Like you don't get vanilla. This is not just another vanilla aromatic. And I smoked this. I smoked only two bowls in, so you know, take that as a flake of tobacco. I've only smoked two bowls, and the first one was very, very moist. And then the second one, which I preferred, was actually, no, flip that. The first one was very, very dry. I dried it out too much. And then the second one was moist. And I think I prefer it somewhere in between the two. But it is a crumble cake, which is so fun. Of course it was aging in these barrels and then it was pressed. But it is quite good. And I'm telling you, the scent and the flavor is, there's a blend out there that I can't quite recall what it is, and it's very reminiscent of it. I really wish I had the name. I should have prepared a little bit better. But whatever that one is, if you guys can detect it, send me some pictures on the Galactic Empire Pipe Club. It's that one, but much better. This one has like a more unique and I don't want to say official, but rather non-artificially flavor to it. And I love the name, the Gentleman's Rum Vanilla. You know, Take out the word gentleman and this blend name is horrible. You throw in gentleman and it's great. I love it. I do love it. But it is a sweet little tin. You should totally pick up some if you're into aromatics. And we are also interested in the folks who are non-aromatic people. Are they going to like it? I don't know. I couldn't say yes or no. I like to think of myself as a get piped guy who enjoys all blends. And this one's definitely up there in the ones that I do enjoy. I do enjoy this one. So
I love it, man. But I think there's bigger news coming out of the Seattle Pipe
I think
Club
so.
That we both need to talk about, but I think you especially want to discuss.
Dude, I have been waiting for this for so freaking long. I've been waiting for this for so freaking long.
Since Vegas? Before Vegas?
Before, because I knew about this for
before Vegas.
Probably over a year now, probably almost 2 years.
Wow.
And that's, yeah, because I was there, right? So this is the...
Yeah, that's
official
right.
Announcement. It's already out, so go check it out. The Seattle Pipe Club Plum Pudding Special Reserve Cigar. It is out on the market. They finally made a cigar for Get Piped. They said, hey, what is Get Piped like? He likes pipe tobacco. Does he like cigars? Sure. Which ones does he like? He has no freaking clue. Let's just put pipe tobacco in one, and he's going to love it. And I want to say, man, these are out, and they are freaking phenomenal. I get to try the several versions of the initial, like the Mark 1, Mark 2, and they're like in their final stage. They're done. They're out on the market, man. And it's just, I am so freaking excited for this because I do enjoy them so, so much. And there's a little caveat here. There's the Stillwell Stars is another pipe tobacco e-blended cigar. That's a collaboration through Cornell and Deal, I believe. And I forget the blender right off the top of my head, but those are fantastic too. They both have this very pipe tobacco-y flavor. But the thing about the mm-hmm. Seattle Pipe Club Plum Pudding cigar is I just get more of a pipe tobacco essence to it, but it's still a cigar. And that's what I love most about it because it's like, I could just smoke plum pudding. I'm a pipe smoker. I have tons of plum pudding. I'm a pipe smoker who loves Seattle Pipe Club. I don't want that. I want something that has essence of both. And the coolest thing about this is once you cut into this, you can see, you can literally see the plum pudding. And that is fantastic. So it's plum pudding mixed with, you know, other cigar leaves. I'm not going to try to make up something funny here. I don't know, but I don't care about that. I care about the fact that it's cigar stuff and plum pudding. And dude, they are absolutely fantastic. And they're coming in, I believe, two sizes. I'll let producer guy get into all that. But just know that I am absolutely ecstatic. Mm-hmm. I'm so freaking excited. And this is going to be the one, this is going to be like one of my cigars, man. I want to be like an ambassador of these guys. They're just super, super cool. They're very innovative in the pipe smoking sense. And there was a battle here. Like, and my favorite part about it is Sutliff was all for it. Because Sutliff produces Seattle Pipe Club blends, right? And I mean, they're blended by mm-hmm. Seattle Pipe Club, but they're the production. They do the production for these tobaccos. So they were kind of at the helm of getting this together. In conjunction with the Seattle Pipe Club team. And Seattle Pipe Club was so adamant about these being high quality plum pudding cigars. And like I told you, the ones I had before were great. I loved them. They're among my favorite cigars, like the unfinished products. But Seattle Pipe Club was ruthless, you know, in making sure, no, it has to be more plum pudding. We don't want it all plum pudding, but it has to be more plum pudding. And that's one of my favorite things is that they are very adamant about that. And the best part was our good friends over there at Sutliff weren't like, no, this is good enough. People like it. Get piped. Can't stop talking about it. We're going to do fine. They're like, oh, okay, this is your thing. We will make it right. And that's exactly what they did. So I love everything about this story. I love the fact that I knew it before most people because I was in the club. It's a little special place in my heart. I'm so excited to get a box for myself.
Yeah, so as Adam said, they kind of come in a couple sizes and shapes. So the Robusto size 5x50 and the Toro 6x52. The Robustos are 13 a stick, $61.75 for 5 or $234 per box 20. And the Toros are $14 a stick, $66.50 for 5 or $252 for 20. And These are good, man. These are pretty good. They have the Seattle Pipe Club Plum Pudding Pipe Tobacco and then Nicaraguan. Oh my gosh, that was so hard.
But you got it. You nailed it.
Filler. I know. Binders, Nicaraguan Habano. And then the wrapper is a Habano. So yeah, man. These are great. Got these in. My sample's in. I actually had some from Vegas as well. So yeah. They are so good.
And
so good.
I will say for the pipe smokers, it's worth trying. But if you're pause, not editing this out. My blind cat Dublin is trying to walk across my desk, and I have a cup of coffee that might be a little bit older than it should be, as in several days. And he puts his hand right in it because he's blind. That was sad, but also so cute. I'm so sad, but so cute. You know, it's like his misfortunes are like the cutest thing, but I'm torn.
I feel like I just hear him go, oh no.
But yeah, that's like, true. He's so cute. Get wife and I always call him happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like nothing,
he's resilient.
He is. He really is. He's just a sweetheart. I wish you could all meet him.
Yeah.
But he'd be too scared for that. But anyway, so let's get back to the cigars, right? So before we transition, I do want to let you know that like I am, you guys know it. I know zero about cigars. Also learned that cigars are expensive. So if you are not into cigars, this is actually not a heavy price point. The Stillwell Stars, I believe, are at $15. Which is a lot. Like, I'm not saying that's not a lot. I'm not saying $13 a stick is not a lot. It is, but that's like common marketplace. And I'm saying that because I don't know that. Wow. Yeah, you know, like that's a tin of tobacco, you know, 2 ounces, right?
Literally almost a tin of Gentleman's Rum Vanilla.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You know what I mean?
It's so, like $16.
It's something to consider. So if you're coming from the perspective of me saying, oh, you got to get these cigars, like they're so good. And then you think, whoa, okay, I love plum pudding. Let me get a damn stick. Oh, $13. That's a lot. Like, I hear you. It is a lot. That's why I actually haven't bought any yet, but I will. No, I get it, man. I get it. But these are definitely worthwhile. I just, from my understanding, they are quite competitive. another funny thing is whenever, you know, some of you guys are so awesome. I just want to shout out to all of you who've ever sent me anything, mainly cigars. I love when you guys send me cigars because I know nothing. Then I get to try them. And then I keep all the cute little labels and I write down if they're good or not. And all the ones that I like, I always post in our Galactic Hit by Pipe Club. And I say, hey, I love this. Where can I get them? Who knows what this label even says? It's Don Juan something, you know, from Cuba. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, you get a box for, you know, $700. I'm like, okay, yep, don't love that. So never mind. But so this is very competitive. And again, no shade, but the Stillwell Star is $15. You know, but anyway, both
always a little shade.
Both are great, great tobacco, pipey cigars, if you may. So they're both worth looking into. But I'm specifically on a Seattle Pipe Club kick with all these recent releases and. Yeah, very excited. So if you guys get them, please reach out into the show, show at getpipe.co, no M, or our Galactic Hit by Pipe Club Instagram, whatever it is. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Like, let's be brutally honest. I want to know if you think they're good. Do you think they should have been more plum puddingy, less plum puddingy? I don't know. I'd love to hear all of your thoughts. So yeah. Very, very excited to hear that.
Very excited as well. But the last thing we want to talk about kind of in this smoking and joking before we get into our new series is something big, man. Do you want to announce it? Am I announcing it? Oh, this is just
got I me do, hype. Man. You guys got to go to the Chicago Vibe Show. We're very close. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Got to go. If you can, barring I understand it's a lot of money.
Mega.
I'm pitching a lot of things for you. You're like, oh damn! I just bought two boxes of the, you know, the Robusto Seattle Pipe. Now I can't go to the Chicago Vibe.
$500.
So. Maybe put a pause on that. Just know that there probably will be on the Seattle Pipe Club table at Chicago Pipe Show. But there we're super excited. Our, you know, get wife and I are going. Yes, I will book it after we are done recording. Sorry, sue me, Kurt Keener. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. And one thing that is really, really awesome is it's gonna be a little bit of a blending seminar. You guys know this. And Get Piped myself will be at the helm of it. Alongside Per Jensen. And why is Get Piped heading the blending seminar? Oh, because he has 100 Earth and Dreams, right? Well, no, because our good friend over at the Country Squire, Quinn Crawford, had blended that for us. And I just kind of gave him yay or nays. Well, this time, I'm a little bit more learned. I'm a little bit more experienced. I'm no journeyman blender by any means, but I am a beginner blender. And the first Get Piped blend from me directly and alongside the help of producer guy and our good friends over there at Sutliff. We have a new tobacco coming out in the second edition of the Get Piped Reserve collection of tobacco. I am so freaking excited for this, man. And a couple of you guys know, some of you guys at the shows got a little, you know, secret.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I told a couple people, but like whispered, you know.
Had some Guinness, maybe a little Tullamore.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. So... new tobacco coming out. You can get it at the Chicago Pipe Show. I know so many of you are going to reach out to me saying, how do I get a tin? I can't go to the Chicago Pipe Show. Stand by on that. But this is going to be a very, very limited release, very exclusive, at least to the Chicago Pipe Show to start. Depending on how much folks are interested, we can kind of relay that over to the team over at Sutliff and see if we can make something happen. But this was a pretty big collaboration, and that was one of the things we did when we were over there, doing our finishing up the Battle of the Briar filming, doing our tour, seeing the damn Seattle Pipe Club blend in the barrel. Well, there was a day where we dedicated to me trying to blend a tobacco. And this was, when did we go, producer guy? This was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Yeah, so the product is finally complete as of, I would say 2 days ago, I finally gave the final go on this is the one. And it is the very coveted, soon to be coveted, flannel coffee tobacco blend by Get Piped, man.
Yes.
And it is so freaking good, man. And I'm tooting my own horn. Maybe I'm thinking it's better than it is because I blended it, man. But wow, I love this. This is going to be a burly forward aromatic tobacco. Yes, aromatic, but I still, you know, would like to see if some of those anti-aromatic guys want to give it a shot. It's
it's hard because I don't know. Like when I'm trying it, I'm not getting much aromatic, which is good. Like when I think of flannel coffee, I don't think of sweet.
No. You know what I mean? The recipe calls for a subtle amount of maple syrup. So if you guys are listening, if you're a newer listener, what the hell is flannel coffee? Go listen to episode 100 of the Get By podcast. That's one you absolutely should listen to. But in brief, I made this. It's this what I hope to be one day, like this major New Hampshire staple, because that's where we're from. That's where the flannel thing's coming from. But basically, it's black coffee with a little bit of Irish whiskey and a little bit of maple syrup. That's it. You mix that all together. I prefer Tullamore Dew. Do what you please. I prefer real maple syrup, preferably from New England. Do what you please. If you're from Canada, sure, go. That checks out. Doesn't matter, but it's got to be a pure maple syrup. You mix it all up, and it's so freaking good. I prefer it hot. I've never had it cold, but that's the traditional recipe. Why is the name flannel coffee? Again, harkens back to New Hampshire, our roots. And I also blended it wearing a flannel. So it is perfect. I love it so much. I don't drink it often, but when maybe, you know, good Sunday, cold, chilly morning. Oh, it's so perfect. So maybe we should try ice as it starts to get warm. But I know folks up in New England, it's still, I think it was like minus 72 on Mount Washington this morning. So it's still cold up there. But yeah, man, this is the blend. The blend is coming out. So you get to try flannel coffee. Maybe you don't drink alcohol. Maybe you're sober from alcohol, whatever it is. That's fine. You can now try the flannel coffee in your pipe, and it is going to be super, super good because I love it so much, and it's blended with some of my favorite tobaccos. We're talking coffee. We're talking maple. We're talking burley. A little bit of dark fired in there, a little campfireiness. It's just everything I wanted it to be. And man, it is tough. So if you are able to go to the Chicago Pipe Show, not only will you be able to pick up a tin, but you'll get to hear me talk about the trials and tribulations that come with blending tobacco. It's impressive. I'm very much in awe. And I always said, oh, this is very difficult. Yeah, these guys do a lot. But until you try it, you're like, wow. The first 17 editions of this were so not good. And then we got to okay. And then it's like, where do I go from there? So very subtle changes, really add up. But the flannel coffee blend is coming out from the Get Pipe Reserve. It'll be your second blend from the reserve. And I'm so excited for it. So again, reach out to us if you're not going to be at Chicago. Maybe we can figure something out. I just want to get kind of general numbers, but that's not a guarantee. That is not a guarantee at all. Your best bet is to go to the Pipe Show and find it on the Sutliff table, which they'll be putting on their table for us.
Heck yes, dude. I am excited. I love what we got going. The tin art's going to be beautiful. And I mean, it is, we made it, which is really cool.
Yeah, the tin art. We did tin art. We did the write-up. We did everything about this. They just put the tobacco that I provided, told them to put in, and then they, canned it for it. Like, it's amazing. This collaboration was so perfect. They really let us take the reins. And I will say the very last part was, I was like, we were at like a 98% product with the blend. I was like, there's just something missing. I kind of want to punch up the whiskey, but not necessarily put more whiskey, like tobacco, whiskey flavored tobacco. Mm. And then, Sullif was like, I got you. And then, having known I'm the man of a fan of Tullamore, they ended up just dumping a bunch of Tullamore on the blend. So, and I'm telling you, it is perfect. It came out so, so perfect. I'm very excited for you guys to try it. But
very excited. Well, thank you all for smoking and joking with us. And of course, for all your support of the Get Piped podcast. The best way to support us is our Buy Around Club. We just want to say every donation counts to help us continue the show and get to episode 999. So thank you all of you who are part of our Buy Around Club. But we've got a great show planned this week with a new addition to our collection of series titled Brother to Brother. And following our primary topic, we'll get into some Ask Adam Anything and Ask Nick Anything. So we're talking a lot today. It's going
to
be great.
Hell yes. Big thanks to the producer guy for the producer guy things. Now, before we move into our primary topic, I want to remind you to take a deep breath, savor this moment, kindle your flame, and pipe as you please.
Well, folks, we got a new series today, one that Adam and I have both been looking forward to. We've been talking about this one. Every time. Still gets me. We look forward. We've been looking forward to this one. But honestly, there's been, since the beginning, I think, of the Get Pipe podcast, we've always wanted to have this type of series. And we didn't know when the right time was. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, or I guess 2022. When did we start that? Yeah, I guess 2022, when we started the podcast, was too early. You know what I mean? Last year, we're definitely in our growth phase, establishing who we are, but we're into our third year. And yeah, man, it's time for some, you know, I guess like heart to heart, deep stuff, whatever it is. Cause I think as men, as pipe smokers, as people that are a part of this community, you know, it's important to discuss anything and everything, because we all have our struggles. We all have our, you know, air quotes, demons that we deal with. You know, maybe they're not that bad, but it's still something worth talking about. But yeah, Adam, how about you kind of explain the series, or, you know, the topic as a whole?
So this one, again, as Producer Guy had mentioned, something we've been discussing, and this is to make the point that this is a deliberate difference from our very similar styled series, Sandblasted Banter. Sandblasted Banter was initially just like we don't really got much. Let's just, you know, chalk it up with each other, hang out, you know, maybe have a couple of wee drams or two, you know, maybe a pint and just chat. Predominantly about pipe smoking things. So we would cover pipe smoking topics and see where that took us. And that's not necessarily untrue here, at least with the topics of being pipe smoking. That's naturally going to come into play here. But this is a more serious, more hashtag deep. So I do want to just preface that we're not going to be trauma dumping by any means. But if you are only here for the pipes, you'll get some of it in here. Because what? Like, my life is, like, I am a pipe guy. This is, there's so much of my being is being get piped and being a pipe smoker. This is what I think about every day. So some of the things I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about throughout the evolution of this particular series, will naturally involve pipe smoking, going to shows, problems with, you know, getting to shows, going, like, all that stuff. I just felt like this was a very deliberate change in you know, from our Sandblasted Banter. And there's, you can't help but acknowledge the fact that the name is very cute. It's very rhymey. I mean, does a word of the same word rhyme, or does that not make sense? Like, does brother rhyme with brother?
I guess so. But it is, I don't know. That's
itself. A hashtag deep question that we're not looking to get into in this particular episode. But this name was not stolen, but it's really a tribute to our good friends over there at the Country Squire Radio that ended on episode 500. At the later half of their you know, lifespan as a radio show, they introduced this wonderful series called Father to Father. So many folks really, really enjoyed this, and they shied away from doing this for so long because they felt like it just wasn't pipe smoky enough. Naturally, pipes would come in, again, being men of pipe smoking, and, you know, John David Cole owning a business that is a retail store for pipes and tobacco, right? But it was a series dedicated for Bo and John David, the show's two hosts, to have a conversation with each other. And it was rooted in the fact that they are both fathers. They're both newer fathers. And that alone could be, you know, their own path of discussion. And they modeled it after like a lounge, right? So they thought, okay, well, these are the things we would talk about in a pipe smoking lounge. And, you know, just what's it like being a, hey, I got some questions, you know, my kid's doing this kind of thing. And then they talked about their faith. They talked about many other things, many other topics that still coincided with one father talking to another father. So we're kind of paying tribute to that there. I'm not a father. And even if I was, like Producer Guy, I still wouldn't steal their name. And I really wanted to modify it. I really wanted to have a conversation directly with Producer Guy. I wanted to have a conversation with one of my brothers. If you guys didn't know, I do have an older brother, and I love my older brother, Nate. Shout out to Nate, who's probably not listening. But
true,
you know, for my brother from another mother here, we just need a series for ourselves, man. And that's kind of what this is. Yeah. So this is not necessarily it's not to isolate you. This is a series for me to Nick, or for Nick to me. But if you were in the room, the purpose would be the same, right? Like, this is an open conversation. Now, this isn't necessarily a lounge version, right? So we're taking it a step further. This is more of like the end of the night after, the smoking lounge is closed. Let's go to a smoking room and just get to hang out and talk, get deep, get serious, get whatever comes out while you're enjoying a pipe or a cigar. And I've had many of these conversations with strangers, man, with very, very people I just met, listeners of the show, viewers of the YouTube channel, people who have no idea who the hell I am. And we just had that. We were able to bond over the fact that we are pipe smokers, but it was after the show floors closed down, the lounge was shut, it's 1 a.m. We're just sitting in a room, the lights are dark, it's dim, not because we're trying to be all brooding and contemplative but per se, but that's what happens. And you get some amazing, wonderful conversations from these pipe shows when you get to, leave it for a little bit. And that's kind of what this is, man. That's exactly what we're trying to go for here. So it's not necessarily the smoking lounge, maybe the smoking room, the thing after the lounge. I'm excited to see how this goes. This could be, a huge hit. It could be. It really, really could be. It might be a little bit rocky to start, as we are younger in the series, of course, as this is the first one. But I couldn't help but think how John David Cole said to me, he's like, man, we really loved the Father to Father series, and we really wish we did it earlier. And not only did the folks listening really enjoy it, we enjoyed it the most. So even if they didn't, we still regret not doing it earlier, because it was a really good opportunity for me to talk to another father, my good friend, Bo York. That's what I'm doing here, man. I get to talk to my good friend here, my producer guy, my best friend, Nick, and we get to just chat, man. We get to kind of lay it out. So this first one, as we talk about the actual topic, is going to be essentially checking in, man, because we've not really got to do that. We haven't been able to check in really on our goals, on our New Year's resolutions, on our family stuff, our pipe smoking stuff, really. Like, I feel like we've just been up and at 'em, man. I've been obviously traveling, and then when we have the time to chat, like, it's go. Let's prep the next show. Especially when we do ones where we have to write a lot. We actually don't have a lot of dialogue between the two of us, because we're so busy writing and editing and making sure it's good. And yeah, it's quite draining. It really is. And that's not a complaint. That's just something I wanted to get off the rip, right off at the top of this edition of the Brother to Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. There's a lot to check in, right? There's a lot that we just, I guess, have going on. And I think that, there's a lot of stuff that one day, we'll be able to do our Brother to Brother on being fathers.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day. I think that a lot of times I find that I don't want to burden someone else with my problems, if that makes sense.
Now, dude, let it out. I want to hear, like, because the thing is, like, I know you so well. Yeah. And I know when you're talking about, you'll come up with like not a euphemism, but, the little gremlins, because you don't want to just always talk about your kids. So you come up with like a goofy thing to call your children.
I don't know if I've ever used gremlins.
You've said everything. Tiny humans, you've used, feral animal, feral dog, feral pet.
Yeah, they are feral.
But like, I want to know, like, feral. You have full, and it's not a complaint. Like, you're not, like, you told me how just before the show started, which would have been great for this. Real quick,
I'll tell the story. So basically, I was a little late getting on here. I told Adam, I was like, 7:30 I'll be on, good to go. Normally I'm the one that's on time for the most part. But today I was late. So then I got a text from Adam. He's like, good to go when you are, whatever it was.
And the classic, like, yep, whenever you're ready, I got you.
I'm here. But we got on here, and I was like, hey man, sorry, just needed time with the wife. We got done dishes at pretty generally earlier than most people, but our kids wake up earlier, if that makes sense. So
when do you guys normally eat?
We normally eat around 5:30-ish. 5:30, 5:45 is when we're eating. They're doing bath and in bed before 7, or right around 7 typically.
Okay.
So today was a little later. I guess on time. But like we're done with our son because the baby goes down pretty easily, but we're done with our son around 7-ish. But again, he's waking up 6 something, whatever it is. I know a lot of folks do like 8 to 8 for kids or 8 to 8:30 to 8, whatever it is. Anyways, he took a while and then we have to go check on him every 5 to 10 minutes to start. And then he eventually falls asleep. But producer wife and I had 10 minutes to do dishes, clean everything up. And then we were sitting down for 15 minutes to actually read a book, which was really nice. And then, you know, we had to go back in and check on the little man. And producer wife was like, all right, something that helps us fall asleep is if you count sheep, you go 1, 2, all that stuff. And, you know, he took his deep breath or whatever. And I was like, all right, buddy, good night. So then I come in here, get everything set up. And then Adam's like, hey, just going to be a sec, you know. Get wife just came home, want to say hi to her and all that stuff. And I'm like, perfect. You know, little man wants to see me again. So I go in because producer wife grabbed me and I go in. I'm like, hey, buddy, I heard the sheep didn't come. And then he just like, I can't even see him because it's dark, but he just like touches my face so softly.
I didn't know he
touched it so softly. He's like rubbing it. And then like, 8 seconds, an odd amount of time after I said, hey, buddy, I heard the sheep's didn't come. He just goes, butterflies. Butterflies. And I come to find out that producer wife told him a story about how, you know, butterflies, one came and landed on his nose. And in his sleep deprived state, because he hardly napped today, he was just like, all he remembered was butterflies. So it's like that stuff, dude, it just like wipes away all the... all the little, you know, bad, not even bad, but just like the very stressful things that come with, you know, keeping a human alive, another human alive. Like, and then, you know, it's great. It really is. But there have been times that have been hard. And,
what are the things that are really like brutal? Cause this is, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of scared.
Is this turning into father to father? Well, father to brother?
Brother to father, brother friend to father. I don't know. But like, dude, it's tough. It's.
Well, I think the hardest part for me is like not having the time with my wife. Like that's.
I love that for you. I love that that's your thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one thing that you kind of turned me on to was the idea of that it's you guys against them and it was you two before them and it will be you two after them kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's like, if you take that at face value, people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it sounds bad. But...
like, don't you love them? But it was put to me by, it was funny. It was, the way it was put was very funny and maybe not ironic, but it was a pastor at my church and he was like, sorry, you know, whoever, like I will choose, you know, my wife, because mm-hmm. like I chose her, I married her, like for whatever it was. And I was like, oh, like you can extrapolate that to like at the end of the day, your kids are going to go off, hopefully, you know, barring any, you know, that obviously people have medical conditions where they need to be home. And those parents are heroes, first of all, taking care of their children. My in-laws actually, you know, my niece has a disability, so she's in a wheelchair at this point.
Right. And, yeah.
She's very young. I think she's 7 or 8. I forget how old, but like, talk about stressful. Like, and that's one of the things where like divorce rates are tenfold more with people that have children who have some sort of either a physical disability or maybe a mental disability. Apologize if I'm not saying any of this stuff right, you know, for people out there. But yeah, so like to me, we go from this period, and I know you've endured some of this stuff of like, you know, you go to being around each other and having all this time, and then all of a sudden, you know, kids get thrown in there. And for a time, for a season, they become more important. And like, I know that, you and get wifed, you know, work and then podcasting. And then you're going on trips. And it's like, oh, you're going on trips. It's like, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't change the fact that you're away from your. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from your family and stuff. So, yeah, it's. I think that's definitely the hardest part. And it's just like we definitely just desire that time.
Freedom.
Because it is limited. Yeah, the freedom, even though, you know, there was one point with when it was just our son, like I was complaining about not being able to do things I never would have done.
Oh, you were
otherwise.
Such a summer boy.
Literally, I don't know what that means, but yeah, what does that mean? Like being sad about summer when you still wouldn't have done stuff?
No.
Know what you mean?
No. It's like,
I don't know.
You're naive. Like if you had, like, once you added another kid, you were like, oh, I could have done so much more. But you were a summer boy. Yeah. Like, you weren't born in the winter. You weren't hardened. You didn't know. You just, it's like, oh, I can't do it. This is so hard because I have my one son. And now that you're experienced, like, oh, dude, we would have done so much.
Throw him on my back and we'll just go. Yeah, literally. That's a great way to put it. And I think that there's a lot of that just in life in general. Because we had that before kids.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
we had that summer boy.
And I know you're telling me it right now, and I will have it when I have my first kid. You know what I mean? It's,
well, you probably have it right now. Well, maybe not, but like producer wife and I had it. Like there was a point where we thought we couldn't do much because she was working so much. And then she started actually working a lot.
Oh, true, yeah.
And it was like, oh, now we actually don't have any time. And it's like, how much time did we have before? So we had before kids, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
What's crazy I literally thought today when it comes to, like, it is 2024, right? So I was thinking about just the future of shows and whatnot, pipe shows and pipe events. And, you know, definitely realizing that currently we're making it happen, but sustainability wise, I won't be able to go to every Chicago, every Vegas currently, you know, unless things change.
Right.
But then I was thinking about, like, say, like 2-3 years from now, when maybe things do change, maybe, you know, I don't know how much a lot of people listen to the Pipes Magazine Radio. Maybe there's a way where, like, all of my shows could be covered through, I don't necessarily want to say sponsorship, but, like, let's be honest, that's kind of where money is. To be fair, we're not actively seeking any, and we haven't, and we've had a couple opportunities that we're like, let us find ourselves and find our show first. But my point is, like, I was thinking about the future, and then I was like, man, outside of even that, you know, say I get out of the army, you know, knock on wood, God forbid that, like, I get, like, medically retired because I don't know, I trip and fall and lose a leg or something. You know, I would probably get a decent amount of money doing nothing, which could absolutely probably pay for things like that. But my point was, like, I was just thinking, dude, I'm gonna have kids soon. And I don't know how soon. It could be 2 years, it could be three, it could be four. But, like, I was like, whoa, there's gonna be a period. There's gonna be like a 1 to 2 year period where I will have to miss at least one Vegas or one Chicago. And those are kind of the two that
Or both.
Exactly. And those are the two that
both,
in my mind are kind of non-negotiable. You know, I put loose quotes on that, right? But, like, moving forward, I don't want to miss those two shows. I love the small events. I love Muletown, love Smitty's, but those are the ones that, and just like you, you're planning for Vegas, right? But you're pulling the cord on Chicago. And I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. And
it's hard.
You know, it is hard because I too want kids, and it's probably a little bit ridiculous to say, you know, that I'm just like a free boy who's young and I can go to these things. Like, I can see how some of, like, the older folks are probably like, you know, and I want to side note here, no hate for the old guys that I always talk about. Love the old guys. I had
love them.
Mike Lading, you guys probably hear him get talked about all the time on the Pipes, Pours, and Pals podcast. I got to meet him at Muletown, and he was talking about the show. He's like, where's your producer guy? And I was like, Mike, I didn't even know you actually listened.
No.
And we had a really, really great conversation. It was so awesome to shake his hand. And then before he left, he's like, yeah, and by the way, I'm one of those old guys you always talk about. much love for the older guys. But yeah, like, I can see how, like, dudes, gents like that who are much more experienced in life You know, like, well, look at the, again, summer boy over here complaining that he's going to have a kid and can't go to a show. Like, I get that, man. But like, it's again, part of what I mentioned at the top of this series. I love Pipes, man. I love the community. This is this is who I am. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to have to put that to the side, man. And naturally, like you said, like it's for your kids, like you would do it. And but it's still got to hurt. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that you come to realize. And you realize it quickly in marriage of like.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Begin to start, you know, sacrificing for another person. Okay. Caring for and loving another person. And it definitely goes up a notch with kids. And it's like, you start looking at their eyes and being like, oh my gosh, I would
do anything. Yeah, that's kind of
crazy. It's a crazy feeling. But one thing I've always kind of thought about when it comes to children, and then I will transition maybe to someone else in the same vein, but it's like, you're never going to be ready.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even ready. And I'm years into this. And there's probably someone who's, you know, our parents aren't ready for what's to come. Like, I remember I got, I don't know if you remember, but I got hurt eighth grade track. Like, I don't even know if you're right.
I didn't even know who you were.
Yeah. But I fell, got a concussion, blacked out.
Running track? I'm sorry.
Dude, literally.
I'm sorry for laughing. You don't remember. Bro was running.
Dude, I went to the hospital. Bro,
I'm sorry. This isn't banter. I should be more.
No, you're good. You're good.
Damn, you blacked
brother
out.
Brother,
what happened? How do you fall running?
Okay, so I was practicing hurdles, and I jumped, hit a hurdle, flipped backwards somehow in the perfect way, and landed right on the back of my head.
Oh,
and
man.
My dad was walking up to watch me practice. Like he was watching, coming to watch me just, you know, run. He's been retired for a couple of years at that point, or a year. And, you know, someone comes up to him. He's like, oh yeah. Nick hurt himself like a kid. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's walking up. He sees me on the ground, unconscious. So like, even after, however old we were at eighth grade,
13, something like that.
Yeah. 13, 14, 15 years. He wasn't ready. Cause like that is devastating.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And I had to get taken away in an ambulance. And like, the first thing I remember is waking up in the ambulance and them asking me all sorts of questions. And then I passed out again and I woke up puking in the hospital. And anyways,
did you end up being okay?
So like, you're never ready. I mean, I don't know.
It's a joke.
I know. Maybe I don't not. Know. Like,
who knows where?
But
you
maybe not.
Been. Maybe you would have been like,
yeah, a scientist or something.
Yeah, or a criminal. Yeah. I don't know.
Or a criminal. Maybe I'm the way I am.
Maybe you're very all right because of it.
I did have a soft spot in my head that, like, a few days
you grow
after,
a thing, don't you? Is that the same spot?
I think.
The other day, you had to get his thing removed.
No, the other side. Okay. But I did have. I thought it was cool to have girls touch it. So probably not ideal. I was like, hey, you want to touch my soft spot? It's on my head, not anywhere else. What do you think? But I also went to Canobie Lake, which is an amusement park for eighth grade. And I went on a spinny ride. Or was it that?
Yeah. We all went
something.
Eighth grade. Yep.
And I got sick and I can't do spinny rides after that. Like not recommended after a stage 3 major concussion to go on spinning.
I couldn't do tilt the world. Yeah, I don't do those ones either anyway, but
yeah. But so yeah. And there you're never ready. But I think like something that has been tough is definitely the time to smoke. Like we're 2 years almost, you know, in our third year of this podcast. I think one of the main things that I've struggled with is like this imposter syndrome of, you know, wanting to smoke, being a pipe smoking podcast and not doing it as much as I truly desire to, and like learning everything. So when it comes to, you know, we talked about in the New Year's episode, like your goal for me, like to learn a blend that I want and I
find
like
your favorite blend. Yeah. One that like
find my favorite
Cuban blend. Make sure your Mac Baron Burley Flick, whatever it is.
like that was a hard, you know, goal, yeah. But I think we'll get there eventually. But yeah, it's one of those things that's definitely always in my head of being an imposter. But I've talked to some folks and it's like, don't worry about it. Like that, you know, there's always going to be time and there's going to be seasons where you'll have too much tobacco and you won't have enough and you're just going through pipes and mm-hmm. cigars and doing all that stuff. And yeah, so I think as someone who's in the sphere, I feel that syndrome every now and then, if that makes sense.
No, I hear you, man. Like it's tough. It really is tough. And like I want to, this is a good actually point to talk about me as my journey as a pipe smoker. The other day, because I have a rental car, I haven't really been funny how I'm going to word this. I haven't really been smoking in my rental car because it's a rental. That said, I have a couple times and everyone's like, well, you're crazy. I'm like, dude, it's pipe smoke. They're not going to know. The representative from Enterprise is listening to it right now. fortunately, if they were, they'd be on my side. Like, oh yeah, we couldn't tell. But like I wasn't, I probably smoked like two or three pipes over the past like week and a half that I've had this car. And, you know, I have not been smoking as much and it's definitely made a weird impact that like, I'm telling producer guy this genuinely, not because I'm trying to get like, oh, well, get pipes to pipe smoker. We get it. Like, this is just a true thing that I realized today. Because the first few days that get wife was working, I let her take the car. Her work, she's a nurse. Her work day is way harder than mine. You know, maybe when I was in the infantry, they were paralleled, but now, man, it's not even close. She every day is almost like one of her worst days, man. It's brutal being a nurse. So if any of your spouses or if any of you guys are nurses, you know, one, I love you. Two, if it's not you, give your spouse, friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever is the nurse, you know, some love as well, because it's a tough gig, man. And you know, I can only, man, this is really, really hard. Like when every day she comes home and it's like, that was like the worst shift of my life. And it's not just being dramatic. I'm like, whoa,
that's like legitimate.
That is not,
I mean, because
sustainable.
Yeah. Oh, no. And especially like, I think about the height of like COVID for a lot of nurses. I know.
Oh yeah.
Do we know some people who were like knee deep in that stuff? And yep. I can only imagine. I don't want to.
And it hasn't gotten better ever since, to be honest. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something else, exactly. Right? Like it's overdoses. It's, you know, violent crime, whatever it is. It's just like, oh my gosh. Yep. Like that sort of stuff, I can see how you begin to form this disdain for society, maybe. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but it's like you become hardened to the world. It's like same with war, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying war and a, you know, nurse, you know, a soldier and a nurse are the exact same.
I mean, you saw like, with your father as a police officer, right? Like,
yeah, as a police officer,
sees like, the world in a different way, for good or for bad. You know, it's just a different way because of what he saw every single day. You know, my father, you know, was only, you know, in the Army for a little bit of time, but the things he saw and did in Panama were enough to shape the way he is now, which is definitely, he sees the world in a different way that I don't, because I'm a summer boy.
yeah, it's fair. And it like, then I think about my life of like, it's hard to not necessarily, I wouldn't call it the comparison game, but it's like, are my struggles or things that I view as struggles or troubles like bad, if that makes sense? Like, are they as bad as I think they are? Or can I just kind of, you know, tie my shoes up, you know, tie my boots up and go and just like giddy up and go?
Dude,
I think that a lot.
That hurts me so much. But let's come back to that. Let me finish my thought with the pipe stuff.
Okay.
But like, because she's been having a brutal time, and if you guys are listening very closely, maybe with headphones, you might hear the puppy in the background with Get Wife, who just worked a, you know, whatever hour, 12-hour shift leave an hour early, get home an hour late. So, well, 14 hours, and now she's trying to entertain this thing while I'm recording. So make sure y'all give a good shout out to Get Wifed and Producer Wife, because, you know, there are people. But so I've been letting her take the nice car. Okay, that bottom line, she's been having it rough. Take the nice car, enjoy your drive to and from. It's about a 45-minute commute, and I'll take your car. Pros there is I get to smoke in your car. She would let me, and we're good to go, kind of thing. So I was smoking, and then something happened where, I don't know, I was bringing my car or taking the new car to work or wherever I had to go. I think, that's right, I traveled to Savannah with the rental, and I was like not really smoking, and it definitely affected my day, man. It definitely affected my day. It affected like my not necessarily my mood, but like I didn't feel as much of myself. So maybe that day, that Monday or Tuesday that I talked about at the very, very top of the show in our Smoking and Joking, where I was very lazy, my day just didn't start off right like I wanted it to. But today was the first day where I actually took Get Wife's car, because she had work today, and I took it, and man, smoked my pipe. I loaded up my 2024 St. Patty's Day Pete. Filled flannel coffee in there, man. And it was great. Yes. It was something that was very therapeutic that I didn't know I need. And I was still consuming nicotine, man, like in some form of or another, outside of, you know, when I was driving that car. So it wasn't like it's not an addiction thing. It's not a nicotine thing. It was really just like a heart addiction to this beautiful craft that we have. But yeah, man, I can see how I was out of whack because of that, but this is a very, very important thing to me. But yeah, but as we get back to kind of what you're saying with my struggles, mm-hmm. I couldn't smoke my pipe, you know, so I was tired, yeah. I couldn't run, you know what I mean? Like, I think about this all the time, like the idea that, like, man, I just, like, why, like, whenever I'm having like a bad day, why am I having a bad day? You know what I mean? My dad's getting up to go spin concrete at 02 in the morning and pour it across, you know, the greater New England area. And it's not going to get home until 6 p.m. so we can have, you know, two frozen dinner things and then go to bed by 6:30 so we can get up at 2 the next morning. You know what I mean? Like, that is a freaking life that is not cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And not, like, I would argue it's not sustainable.
It's not, but like they do. These people do. My father does. Your father did. Your father saw horrible things every single day without fail. When I branched infantry, and I was like, oh, we're going to go fight bad guys. We're going to go save the world. And my, you know, other Caleb, I love you, man, if you're listening. You know, my good friend Caleb from Norwich, he became a police officer in a very similar town to Nashua, which is where your father was at.
Yeah.
Very, very similar. Manchester, big city. And he, dude, within like 3 weeks, he had pulled his firearm out like 12 times or something crazy. I mean, I was like, yeah, I've been an infantry officer for 4 years. And, you know, I did like 4 live fires against paper targets. You know what I mean? Like,
and it was loud.
Exactly. Like that, and your dad did that for 23, 22 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that's not sustainable either, but they did, they sustained it. And it's,
yeah. And it's like, when I think about that sort of stuff and like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're in the army. You're like, you could get called up tomorrow to go to Taiwan or wherever it ends up being, the desert. But it's like, I am over here. There was a point, especially after college, where I sort of went through this existential crisis of like, am I a man? Like, if I don't do hard stuff, am I a man? Like, and I've come to grips with it at this point. It is most definitely not an existential crisis. I've found that my duty at this point is to faithfully serve my family for this time of life.
I like
and
that.
Maybe it'll be different in like 3 years. Maybe it'll be different next year. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But like, I definitely went through the struggles of like, I see, especially all my friends from school, they're going into the military. They're doing cool stuff. They're getting deployed. They're, you know, they're becoming, you know, first responders and whatever. And I was working at a desk.
I remember. Yeah. You were having a really tough time with that. I remember that.
And yeah. So it's like, as a man, I look back historically, men were warriors, men protected, men did this. And I didn't feel like I was doing that, you know, and somewhat I still feel that way, if I'm being honest. Like, I still feel there's still part of me that it's like, I haven't had a rite of passage as a man. What that rite of passage is, I don't exactly know.
It's interesting.
You know, there's other cultures that obviously have like legitimate ones, you know, even if it's just like some celebration.
You must walk like, you 100 yards over the fiery coals and grab your babe by its scruff. Kiss it.
Exactly. But, you know, there's still that feeling underlying in me. And I think so every now and then it pops up, you know, but I think a lot of it's ego, like my own.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's all 100% because it's like, how many generations of people, especially in the United States, have not necessarily done that and still been super successful and loving. And when they die, they were happy that they were there for the family. And I know countless people that have been like, I wish I had more time with my family. I wish I had more time with X, Y, and Z. And it's hard. You know, I say it's hard, but it's like going through those sort of, those reps of like the doubt or the self-doubt, whatever it is, you know, it's a bummer, but I'm able to.
You know where I have that? I have that exact same thing with projects around the house.
Oh, interesting. I feel that.
And I know you're a big project guy.
Somewhat.
And I'm not. So through you, I like am reminded that I'm like not a quote man, because my wife hangs all the things. She installs all the things.
I mean, producer like, wife does like, a lot. I'll be honest.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, it's not like I'm hype. I'm like, hell yeah. I don't want to do that, and you can do it. But I felt it was a big accomplishment when you came over. You know,
and we did stuff
to help me install the chandelier and the washing machine or the dishwasher.
Yeah.
But like I said, those were sitting in my house for a very long time, and I required another male figure, which was you, to be like, hell yeah, let's do this. We got this.
Yeah.
And that's like that's one thing I really dislike about my makeup. I don't have the desire to build a deck. I would much rather hire someone to do it for me. I don't love that. But
yeah,
that's like my very inconsequential, like
unmanly
syndrome, unmanly, you know, fear or whatever. Yeah. But that's a good thing about having kick-ass women in your life, right? Because your wife, if there's something that needs to be hung, installed, she's ready to do it. Like, I mean, she looks forward to it. So I'm like, hell yeah, go kick ass.
On our new patio that, you know, producer wife and I, we built together and with our father-in-law, like, we had a pallet from where we got all the stones from. Like, we had them delivered by Home Depot and they came on pallets. She tore them apart and built a bench, like a 2-seat bench.
That's awesome.
From the pallets. Just like, she was like, yeah, oh, that's cool. Bored.
That's something your wife would do.
And yeah, we just got to sand it, stain it. And it's like, dude, that's awesome. It's like, who does that? Like, these awesome women in our lives do.
Well, it's funny because we have that fire pit in the back. We bought like one, again, because I don't like building things. I bought one, but we had all these bricks that we could make in like either an in the ground one or just a slightly above the ground one out of stone. And I was like, yeah, I'll get to that. Like, I looked at a bunch of videos. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that at some point. I need to do this as a homeowner. And one day, get wife just did it herself without a video, just made it look. I mean, there's a design eye that I think my wife has. I mean, she does have. But
for me, that's
funny that.
Yeah, there's a weird thing in our house where I have the eye for colors. Like, I've picked out every paint in our home, which is interesting.
I like the colors in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Like, all the ones that we have painted, if that makes sense.
I would say me too. I was the...
My dad too.
Well, I needed get wife to kind of zero me in, but I was like, no, it's got to be this one. It's got to be this one. Like, she's the one who puts the things where the things go.
She does have a great...
in a pretty manner.
She's top notch at that. But...
Yeah. Just internal design.
Right? I mean, producer wife's like, we need to get Dana. We need to get wifed up in here. Whenever they come and visit, to just redo our house one weekend.
Dude, she would love that. We just moved, as I was saying, like with work being a little bit crazy, we just moved our area. My current office moved yet again. This has been a huge thing over the past few months. But I finally, in my final spot, and I just got into my new office, so I'm excited for get wife to come down and on a day off probably next week, maybe hopefully Tuesday, Wednesday-ish, and like design it to make it look good, put all the pretty things and the frou-frou stuff. Like
the Ranger fake whatever. And
little Ranger sign, you know, little plaques up. Tell me where to put them. But
yeah, man. One thing I've also kind of like been thinking about, you know, we're talking about all this guy stuff. I've also been kind of thinking about my goals. And when I say thinking about, that's all I've actually really done with them is kind of think about them. When I look back on them, I don't know if I'm doing too well on them, but I was interested if you kind of knew how you were doing. I'm pulling mine up here to kind of go over them and see where we're at, so I can kind of give a, you know, it's like a first quarter check-in. I think that's super important because, you know, like, why not talk about kind of what we're doing quarterly and everything like that? Because, you know, businesses do it. They have their stock market quarterly check-in stuff, you know, so we'll do it here. So I pulled all my stuff in. My first mental goal was Bible in a year with producer wife. I'm behind, but not too far behind, which is pretty cool. So I'm all about that. Like it's been pretty, you know, I think I'm like 5 or 6 days behind, maybe a week behind. So we're figuring out. The emotional one, have not done at all. I'll be honest. I've not done my emotional, which is volunteer once a month. I'm 3 months behind on that one. We're doing great.
Okay.
But you know, the physical one, 100 consecutive double unders. For those of you who don't know, it's not just one time with the rope, a jump rope. It's two times during one jump. I've not done that.
Dude, I can't wait to get to mine. This is good.
I'm aiming to have it done by July or August. So I still got plenty of time, but the last time we had double unders,
that's right, yeah.
I looked like I was whipped and lashed on my shins and my arms. So we're doing great. 7 days of piping was my pipe and tobacco goal. Haven't done that yet.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is okay. But all right, let's hear where you're at.
Dude, I think I talked about the number one thing I want to talk about is how I told you guys that I wanted to spend less time on my cell phone, less time on, like, not necessarily the internet, but just like not as doom scrolly.
Yeah.
For some reason, ever since that episode, it has like doubled, if not tripled. Jeez. I don't know. Yeah, it has been so bad. And I was thinking about this today because I wanted to talk about this, but then I thought of like some of our older listeners who are like, these damn kids and their phone. And I get you. I totally get you. It's like, yeah, this is ridiculous. Why am I talking about this? But I just want to keep you in the loop. So as of today, I had like a coming of, not age moment, but I just had this realization this morning, or rather last night. I was like, tomorrow, new day, I need to get back into being me. And a lot of that is not being so on my phone. And the thing is, when I say I'm like scrolling on my phone, I'm not like just looking at like goofy TikToks. I'm scrolling on Instagram. I'm looking at pipes on eBay. I'm going through the Facebook pipe groups. It's all pipe related stuff generally, which can have value, especially when from the context of being a content guy with the pipe smoking sphere, it makes sense. But I just got to figure a way to kind of tailor it. And the cost of this, of all this like scrolling and endless engagement and whatever, I've been posting significantly less. Don't love that. So we're trying to find a balance there. So that didn't work at all. That's kind of like my mental goal. That just didn't really happen. Also, while I haven't been reading too much, I've actually been reading zero. I just started listening to The Hobbit on Spotify. So if any of you guys have Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify, you get the free Andy Serkis renditions of The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, and maybe The Fall of Gondola. I don't know. There might be one or two other books. They're phenomenal. If you listen to us probably 2 years ago at this point, we had done for Tolkien Month, we were listening to all the books, and we picked the Andy Serkis versions. I've listened to the Robert Ingalls version. I've listened to this one. I've read them cover to cover so many times. And when I saw them go on Spotify for free, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I'll do that at some point, but I've already read them. And then actually Pastor Joda, our good friend in the Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club, listener of the Get Pipe podcast, had brought this up again, and I was like, oh yeah. And I told him this too. I was like, yeah, I kind of brushed it off. I was like, yep, I already knew that, whatever, it's fine, that sounds cool. The other day, I was all caught up on most of the pipe smoking podcast, or was at a point where I just was done. I didn't want to listen to pipes, but I wanted to listen to something. I didn't want to listen to music. Tried looking like a Joe Rogan podcast, and I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on with this. So I just clicked play on my way home on a 40-minute drive because of traffic on, you know, The Hobbit. And within the first like 20 minutes, there's so many pipe smoking references. I'm smiling. I'm feeling giddy. I get this absolute theatrical performance from Andy Serkis. I've been very much enjoying that. So I don't know if that counts necessarily because I've already read it. I've already listened to it. I'm not actually physically reading it. I think it did say in that episode that listening's fine, but it's good. It's at least been able to get my mind focused on just enchantment. And that's literally what I try to do with the Get By podcast. So maybe the gears will be turning and our stories will get a little bit better as we produce some of our other favorite series of the Get By podcast. But yeah, man, I think that was kind of like those two were kind of some big ones that kind of looming on me. And then I think like my physical goals, I've been kind of pretty much sticking to for the most part, with some, you know, sprinkles of mistakes in there when it comes to my diet. But yeah, man, I think a big one was the growth of the Get By podcast. And this is where I get to really level out with you as listeners. If you made it this far, I am not ever going to complain when people listen to my show. I will never, ever do that. I will say we have had many upticks and a lot of downticks, kind of a lot of downticks with the show. And naturally we want to investigate that. We want to figure out what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. And it would be wrong to be like, oh, we're just, the content's lame. Like, right. Like, you guys have been listening to it for a long time. I can see how you want to take a break, and that's fine. But it wasn't making sense with the amount of upticks and then downticks. But it's been something that's been kind of like looming on me, because I do want to put out something that people enjoy, people are having fun with. And if they're not, it's a tough one. It's a double-edged sword. Would I continue to do it? Probably. Right. But it makes it a lot more fun when it's performing well and people are really enjoying it and talking about it and sharing it. And the flip side of that is we've been having a lot of engagement. Like, a lot of you guys have been reaching out through the club, through the email. So it's like this weird duality where some of our highest listened months we get not a lot of feedback, and then some of our lower months weeks we get more feedback. So
right,
I think I just kind of wanted to say, like, we got to stay the course, man. And I'd be lying to you if I said every time we pitch the whole 999 thing, let's be honest, I don't know how realistic that is. I'm still going to continue to say it. I'm still going to push for 999. I don't even know how long that is. That's got to be
22 years
20 plus something. And maybe it works out, but man, like, there was a point where, you know, between episode 100, which was so fun and like, you know, hell yeah, send the banners, you know, put the saddles up, you know, let's start riding. We're going to ride this thing till the end of time. Between 100 and 115, which we're on now, there were some times where I'm like, man, I do not.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is not.
And that's.
Is it working? Is it sustainable? Am I tired? Am I done?
That's
not quitting, like, by no means. Like, we're having an absolute blast, and we put so much heart into every single episode. But yeah, there's been, like, I'm so curious what the other folks have to say, at least the other podcasters outside of pipe smoking too. Like, you know, we love doing it. We love chatting. I love chatting with you. This is why we needed a brother to brother, man. I really wanted to, like, kind of take a break from writing a story and writing a poem and, you know, coming up with other ways to talk about the smoke lifting from the pipe. And we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to continue to talk about it. But man, I wanted to have like an episode, this brother to brother, just to kind of talk to you and see where your thoughts are, because we both are in the same boat, right? Like, it's a grind. It's 9:30 on Wednesday night. And
yeah, I think that's been the hardest part for me, is like, when I look at things that take up time, to be honest, and like, how do I realistically want to get time back? It's like, there's a lot of stuff that we do. Like, when I think about, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I wish I had more time. Like, you know, other people are X, Y, and Z, and a big comparison game there. Not saying that's a good thing, but it's like, you know, there's at least two or more nights that are taken up by this stuff. And like, to deny that that's a lot when it comes to the current state of life that I'm in my family. Like, I think that's not talked about enough. And I don't know if I talked to you enough about that, where it's like,
yeah,
there's time working, you know, on this, editing it, preparing for it the night that we record. And then so it's just like, when I think about not doing it, one, I don't want to do that again. This is not doing it, but it's just expressing a feeling that I have where it's like, wow, yeah, that'd be a lot of, that's like time and stuff that other people don't have to do, or I wouldn't have to do. And I always hate the comparison game, but it's just like, yeah, when we get down to it, it's 3 days during the week at the night that we get, you know, time. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, we realistically, what, Saturday-ish is when we start like brainstorming, maybe not having conversations about it, but we're thinking about it.
Yeah, unless and it's a bigger
Monday
one.
Is like a big, oh yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, if it's like a fable, like I've already started prepping next week's last week.
But you've like probably had it prepped already.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Like those are long-going processes, but yeah, like I would say the average like quicker episode week, which is a lot of our series, they're quicker in terms of production. It's like Monday, we're prepping kind of throughout the day. Tuesday, we start to really hammer it in. And we try to record Tuesday night. So Tuesday's kind of like the finalization. Sit on the thing for sometimes upwards of an hour, hour and a half before we say, okay, it's 8:30 before we've even started. Let's push it to Wednesday. But then now we start Wednesday, you know, and then we have to edit it on the same night. And it's just like, it's a grind. And like the other piece that you didn't even mention is like all the blocks have to fall into place. And if one block is not in place, it makes it so much worse. Like, oh, you know, the wife can't sleep. Oh, the puppy's going absolutely fucking nuts. The kids can't sleep. The kids didn't eat. The cat's puking foam, which was just happening like 7 seconds ago.
Right. So that's like, okay, well, why don't you get a backlog of XYZ episodes? It's like, yeah. Do you know the effort that it takes to do that? Like, we're not a, you know, I didn't mean to sound condescending there, but like, we're not a 25, you know, 40 minute podcast where we can do two or three in the amount of time that we do one. And
it's true.
Like, yeah, man, it's hard sometimes. Like,
we've done that. Some days are hard. We've had like one or two, but like the urge to use those. Mm-hmm. Like immediately is so high. Yeah. And it's been great. Like when we did, like we're 2 weeks recorded in advance. We record our one, we have our extra. Okay, next week, let's just use it. We'll give ourselves a week. And those are valuable for sure. But then it's like, okay, now we're back. All that time we spent getting that one episode backlog,
I know,
we've exhausted that resource. And then it's like, okay, well, if we really want to get to doing that, we would have to meet up probably at like a hotel, do a little recording retreat was the Country Squire folks have recommended so many times, and we intend on doing that, but again, more time away, more travel, more money. And it's like, it's tough. It's a tough one to do. Loosely planned, but
yeah, then you begin to see, like, as John David and Bo were in the midst of becoming fathers, you know what this series is based off of, how
simultaneously.
They then made decisions to, you know, do what they did with their podcast. And it's like, I get it. Like, I get why that happened. And it's life, man. Like, this sort of stuff is, to keep it up is a job. You know what I mean? Like, this is spending hours to do another job that pays off in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it pays off in different ways, which I love. But I think
it's a good way you put it too. Cause if you were to say, like, when you on paper, hey, I can now have an extra 8 to 10 hours a week.
That
sounds great. But then when you say, okay, if you were to take that, our hearts would be empty to a degree. Like, I would have to fill it with the pipe smoking stuff in some other way.
Yeah.
That in a way that I'm not getting just by smoking a pipe, right?
Right.
You know, like this is actually what I love about our show is we don't smoke during our episodes.
Yeah.
Because I do, I mean, fortunately I do, and I know you want to, but either way, we get that fix, not fix, that's a bad word to use, but we get that satisfaction, we get that enjoyment outside, and then we get to kind of extrapolate upon it by talking about it in one form or another. But yeah, I totally hear you, man. Like what happens when I have kids? And then, you know, like I'm all like your 7:30 start time works for you, and it mostly works for me. I don't know how that changes when I have kids, because there's times where I'm like, hey, can we push like an extra, you know, 30 minutes? Like,
you're like, I'm just starting cooking dinner at 6:30. I'm like, huh? You're starting cooking? Yeah. Like, to me, that bad.
Dude, I didn't leave work until like 6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So at 6:30, I started cooking, crushed it all in an hour.
So it's like, do we need to move next to one another? Like, Justin, Nate, like,
dude, we do. I know. We do.
It's going to be so easy to just be like, all right, we'll grab some beers. We'll go in the garage and, you know, the wives can hang out. Like, and have wine.
Yeah, recording on like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night-ish thing would make more sense now.
Yeah.
But now it's like we're dedicating our weekends to our wives, which is fine. But like you'll go out with a buddy every now and then.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. But sitting to record remotely on a Friday just does not sound cool at all. Like it just doesn't to me.
No, it does not.
Unless it's like a big, you know, what's up in smoke kind of, or not what's up, cover my bowl or smoke my ash. What is it? Down the rabbit hole. But yeah, man, it's interesting, but
yeah. And I don't want this to be like a sob fest, feel bad for us. Like that's not,
no.
It's,
that's the thing. That's right. Cause like these, like the listeners are in the room with you and I right now. You know, I'd love to hear their thoughts, because that's the best part about the smoke room after the smoking lounge is closed, after the show floor is closed, is they get to provide feedback, whether it's positive or like, I would say it's all probably positive, even if it's not
positive.
Like, oh, quote, you're doing it. It's like, it could be like, oh, suck it up. You know, that's still quote positive. You know what I mean?
Cause I love like when, not obviously the last mini show, cause I didn't go, but like the one last summer, man, dude, just chilling afterwards and just talking. It's like
that was brother to brother.
And like the four of us sitting at a table and just talking about things. It meant so much to me. And it's like, you really learn, like, get to see someone for who they are. And that's a good thing. Like, I'm saying that as a good thing. And maybe sometimes it's not, but like.
Well, dude, 4 weeks prior to that, one of them was my enemy. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Like,
dead serious. Like,
literally. I saw the emails.
You saw the emails. And we had a literal, quote, brother to brother moment. Yeah. It did not matter. You know, I'm not saying, like, every bad guy, there's bad guys out there that I would not want to have a brother to brother with. But when it comes to pipe smoking, this is something that we're able to do. And, you know, it's just fantastic. It really is. It's special. And I'm glad we get to kind of, the thing is, I'm not trying to air out anything. I'm just trying to talk to you, man. And this has been cool. Yeah. I'm excited to see how the series kind of evolves. And I would like to use it sparingly, because I want it to be meaningful between you and me. But man, another reason why we did this episode, to kind of tie it all in, I was just not at all looking forward to prepping an episode. I just wasn't. You know, we did prep obviously for the smoking and joke. We want to talk about the fun stuff, but outside of that, man, I just wanted to talk to you. I wanted to catch up. I wanted to tell you about my woes with, dude, I was thinking this yesterday or 2 days ago. I am so glad you guys didn't get a puppy, man.
And like a puppy.
Because when you guys came over, Rob was considering it. You were kind of considering it, like, oh, Ingrid's so cute.
I mean.
And then you guys were like, well, I mean, not actually. But like the fact that the thought came up, and then Rob had said, producer wife had literally said, once she heard the puppy barking all night, it was like a sobering, okay, now we don't need that.
Yeah, we don't.
But dude, barking at night was just the beginning of it. And I literally thought this yesterday when I don't know what problem I had. Maybe it's this massive scratch on my arm from her razor sharp claws that we don't know how to trim because she's too crazy, or I don't know, something getting torn up, shoe getting stolen, her running outside, not listening to me, running to him. Oh, dude, last thing I'm complaining about. This is actual complaint. My neighbor, you remember, I don't know if you met my neighbor. I've probably talked about my neighbor so many times.
The woman? She just
lets her dog run.
Lady, yeah.
Yeah, buck wild. She's very older. Not that being old is a bad thing, but she's definitely out of touch when it comes to like the reality of how to be a dog owner. And I'm actively, it's like pitch blackout. I take her out to go to the bathroom. The dog, not my neighbor. And
you have to clarify that.
She's really old. So
Ingrid runs outside and she's like kind of going. And then she starts to not listen to me. And she normally does that when she's very, very tired. Yeah. Kind of like a kid. So I've seen.
Dude.
You do. Dude. Your kids. Like they just get nuts. And then they like get like jumpy and
crackhead energy.
I don't like it. Yeah. So I'm like, Ingrid, come here. Come. Ingrid, come. And I'm like trying to get her to come over. And of course, of all hours, how many hours are there in day? 24. The minute that I'm outside, she happens to walk outside when it's pitch blackout. So this is like 9:41 p.m. I don't know.
You said that because it's currently crazy 9:41.
That is so crazy. My watch says 9:40, but that's even close crazier. Enough.
The listener didn't need to know that.
They didn't. Well, yeah, but I feel like it makes it more believable. But yeah. Anyway, so I walk outside. Ingrid, come. So she comes out like, and this is probably like 100 yards away. Not super far, but probably 50 yards. My property ain't that big. And she's like, oh, look at her. She's growing, isn't she? I'm like, yeah. Ingrid, come over here. She's like, and I'm literally saying this out loud, like, Ingrid, come. And then freaking, you know, she just goes, oh, come here, girl. Come here.
No, she doesn't.
Literally, I was like,
bro,
you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, why did you do that?
Dude.
So Ingrid sprints over there, and I'm like, what? I don't even have to say now. I'm just like, how do you not?
Yeah.
Who taught you that?
I had a similar instance with a child. Go finish your story, then I'll tell mine.
So Ingrid runs over there, and I'm like, I'm also shirtless because it's hot out and it's again night. I don't have shoes on. I'm just trying to take my damn dog out.
Now you're trying to take the old lady out for a while. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm stepping over these really hurdy pine cones. Dude. Ingrid. And then like, once Ingrid starts jumping on our neighbor because she's in crackhead puppy energy mode, now she's like, okay, go back home. Shoo. I'm like, you are an idiot.
Sorry.
I shouldn't have said that. But I know my mom's silly. Oh, yeah, she is.
your mom's always got like, back.
She is a very nice woman. But like, I'm like, I could not believe you actively told my dog to come when I'm actively trying to tell my dog to do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Ugh, anyway,
we had, I'm sorry if my mother or father-in-law listen. I don't think they listen.
There's no way, but there might be a way.
When
we get to episode 800 and we make it big and we're on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
They might go back and listen to the backlog. But, say what you got to say.
So sorry if you're listening, my awesome mother-in-law. I do. We have a great relationship. I'm putting that out there. This is a great relationship.
I love them.
But the other day,
tattoo.
Yeah. The other day when we were over there, because we did stay the night Saturday into Sunday, it was enjoyable. We had a home base to go to after we were spending the night out and all this stuff. But we were leaving and we were trying to get my son to eat like a decent snack, like an apple or a banana or, you know, something generally healthy-ish. So she's like going through. She's like, okay, do you want apple? Banana, do you want like goldfish? No, he's saying no to everything. And then she's like, do you want a snickerdoodle? We're like, what the fuck? What do you
oh my gosh.
And she was ready, and these weren't just any like snickerdoodles, like, you know, little ones. Like, no, these were giant, like I'm talking hand, like,
oh my
grown gosh. Man hand size. And she was about to just give him a whole one. Producer wife was like, what? She didn't say it was afterwards. We were talking about it. She's like, what was going on there? Like, are you kidding me? And it's just like such a classic grandmother thing to do, is like going through all the healthy snacks. That's you want true, a cookie? Yeah. I was like, oh my
dude. Yeah, it's like a wholesome, like, cluelessness.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm not trying to insult anyone, but that's kind of what my neighbor
was. But that's
was.
What grandparents like, are for. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, exactly.
In that case, in your case, it's just straight up cluelessness. And
that was, yeah, that was actual clueless. Like, there was no, like, not, we didn't get a happy kid at the end of it. I just got my dog. Ugh, dude, that, but yeah, both like jaw dropping, like, what?
The next, the instead of a dog at the producer household, chickens are on the list.
Oh yeah, that's right.
To get.
That would be better for you.
I think it would be. I think it would be. We just got to get through some stuff first. And producer wife even said, she's like, we're waiting. But our son was like holding chickens at a friend's house they went over to. Dude, he was so gentle. Like, he had the cutest smile. So I think one day chickens are in the realm. And that's going to be great if we ever decide to do like a true animal-based or carnivore type diet, mm-hmm. like longer term. Dude, unlimited eggs. Just
yeah,
popping them out. But anyways.
Dude, get wife was thinking about it too. And she's like, we should. And I was like, yeah, what are we going to? PCS in 3 years. I don't think chickens are,
I mean,
covered in the permanent change of station.
You can eat them full grown.
That's true. Just, I actually told her that. I was like, that would actually be a great coming of age / manliness thing.
Yeah.
She's like, would you do it yourself? And I was like, that's something I would make myself do.
Oh,
I would. I would.
Oh, dude.
Instead of like going like a butcher to like, hey, can you process this?
I mean, they should. Well, a chicken's probably not that bad.
Cut the damn head off and then pluck it
and then let it run around,
clean it up.
I'd want to see if that's a legit thing. It is. Oh,
it's definitely a legit thing, and that's not something I'd want to see. But
well, anyways, let's end this brother to brother on.
But yeah, with our head on.
Yeah, with our head on. Man, I am excited for the series. I know this is kind of like the opening one, and these sort of ones don't necessarily always have a true, you know, guiding theme, but I think as we move forward, they definitely will, especially as months go by, probably before the next one, if not longer. And, you know, things kind of come up, but I love it, man. Love talking to you.
Oh yeah.
Love being a brother is over a decade. For those of you who don't know, I know some people have asked before, like, how long have you guys known each other? You finish each other's sentences. And it's like,
oh yeah.
Or someone was saying,
like 2011.
Yeah, someone was like, how did you like explain what Adam was trying to say so well? And it's like, because we've known each other for, you know, before there was a producer wife, there was a get piped. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's true.
Which is cool. And I got our other friends that, you know, we've known for
before get wiped, right?
No.
Or
I mean, I was there before Get Piped with Get Wifed.
Oh yeah, because I said that was like kind of football season-y stuff. But yeah, for the most part, you were
Again, there's a picture out there. Just saying.
Yeah. dude, I love you, man. Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this with me. Thanks for doing this podcast with me. I know I always love. We should put in this is kind of. I'm actually talking. I'm really, really, really talking to you. Like, we could edit this out, but just we'll keep it in.
Yeah, we'll keep
we
it
should out. Totally do like a pre-roll, but we like record something, attach it specifically to episode 000 and be like, hey, just an update. It is now, we're recording this, you know, March of 2024 kind of thing. Be sure to check, like stay up to date on the latest episode and then come back and feed through. And then like kind of prep them like, hey, there's going to be a lot of change. Obviously we're finding our voice kind of thing. Very brief, but it's just like a quick thing. Because a lot of people do check in. I mean, that's like our most downloaded episode and they're like, wow, this is not cool, I guess. And then they left. But anyway, I bring that up because in episode 000, we specifically told you, or I talked about how you would be in and out. And that was
every
our plan.
Once in a while.
Yeah. And all of those things that I think I'm too scared to go back. I think maybe at like episode 250 is when I'm going to start to go back to the earlier episodes and actually listen. I feel like that's a good number. But anyway, so I just know what I've said in that is very, very wrong, but I'm glad it was so wrong that you were not going to be just like a sometimes in
right.
guy. It's editing. Crazy that, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Cause you, at the time you weren't super pipe smoky. Like you became pipe smoky guy because of this show.
Yeah.
And 100%, right? Like you had pipes.
Right.
You know, you couldn't have, you probably learned a lot too, which is really cool, you know, from all the pipe dreams and all of the series we did. And man, that's wholesome. This is a great way to end this brother, because man, I'm glad to have my brother on this, this podcast. And maybe one time we'll have both of our, that would make no sense to have our brothers on this.
Our actual brothers.
Yeah.
That would make no sense.
It would make no
zero sense. Maybe we'll get some other guests. Maybe one day you might shoot it down, but we'll get the our like crew of from back in the day. If we ever,
yeah, I'm probably shooting that down. Yeah, if they start listening, if you don't text them this and they listen to this part, I would have them on, which they won't. So okay. I know in right. full confidence that.
They both text us tomorrow. They're like, dude, when are we getting together?
Are we doing it at our 10-year high school reunion?
Oh, my gosh. Dude. Yeah, don't bring up the reunion.
They'll bring up the reunion. That'll be on the next one. But for now, thank you all for listening to us ramble, to us talk, and for being with us after the smoke clears.
Segments.
Let's go. We got two today. We got a little Ask Adam Anything. We got a little Ask Nick Anything. Let's get into AAA before we get into Ask Nick Anything.
First question today
is from our good friend. When's the Battle of the Briar documentary?
That's on me. I didn't add the guys.
That's all right. But you'll know it if you hear it. When is the Battle of the Briar documentary? Just when is it?
When is it? That is releasing. A great question. That question is coming from our good friend, Tim J. Tim, I appreciate you reaching out. Your second question we'll get to in the future. I think I hit it in a recent episode, but you know, let's not get too deep into that. When's the Battle of the Briar coming? The goal is and will be met 2024. Originally, full disclosure, I've talked about this several times, is that I wanted this to come out for the Chicago Pipe Show. That made the most sense, right? Yeah, I agree. But as we just mentioned, how we spend, you know, maybe eight-ish hours on prepping for this podcast, that in conjunction with recording the actual episode itself, and then
that in conjunction with
all that stuff,
actual jobs and actual families jobs
have, yeah, the dog thing didn't help. The Battle of the Briar was before the dog, but yeah, man, it's I keep saying it. It just might be coming out. It might be poetic, but December 31st. This is not an announcement, but it might just come out December 31st at 11:59 p.m.
It may
of 2024. Which would be very poetic. But that said, my goal is to honestly just 2024. It is an unbelievably long process. One that I didn't bite off more than I can chew. I just ordered a really, 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 really big steak that
it's just a lot.
Is going to take me several months of consistently eating every single day, which I'll be honest, I don't have the time to eat every single day. This is a bad analogy. It's a 1-2 man doc. Like, we shot it, and then producer guy and I are trying to figure out. This is another thing. Normally, you have like a big hub of a team that's co-located, and they have all these computers, and they can.
And oh, it's also their job.
Yeah, that's another complaint. It's not
their job.
Passion project. So, yeah, but fortunately, we have some great stuff, and it'll be really epic. Yeah. More information to come. No official release date. No official time. It's going to be you know at least 60 minutes. You guys know my YouTube videos. My YouTube videos are like 36 minutes. So
for just talking about tobacco, like
exactly. So this is going to be very interesting for me to find ways to, like, there's going to be so much that I have to cut down, and this will actually be really good for me as a producer. I know producer guy, but when I talk about like production of Get Piped and just like everything, like content stuff, this would be really good for me to figure out how to cut stuff out. And then we'll do like a director's cut, you know, way down the line or something, which would be pretty cool. So yeah, December 31st at 11:59 p.m. is the closest answer I can give you. But that is not an official announcement.
Cool. Second question is from our good friend Smoke Baca. You want to smoke. You need a pipe and some tobacco. Which do you pick first?
Great question, Smoke Baca, aka Don. This, unlike what I just talked about, how I need to learn how to cut things out, I'm going to kind of draw this one out just a wee bit. Easy answer would be like, oh, you know, whatever you're feeling. But, you know, you find yourselves, at least this is me, I find myself probably gravitating more towards the pipe first.
Mm.
And that normally dictates what tobacco. Now, I have said it in overrated, underrated. I'm sure I've said it in, you know, some of our other series that I think it is overrated to dedicate specifically one pipe to a specific tobacco because that tobacco can only be in one pipe or something. I'm talking like English to English, aromatic to aromatic. Now, what's underrated is pairing a type of tobacco to a pipe that you like. Now, I know I just said the exact same thing, but what I'm saying is like, I have a pipe that gives me the essence. Let's, for example, like a rusticated Peterson, or like a rusticated Peterson might just give me the essence, the feel, the vibe of a English blend. So by proxy, yes, it has become my quote English tobacco pipe, but I'm not smoking it for the reason that it's an English tobacco. I can only put my Englishes in here. No aromatics are going to go over here and ghost it. I think that premise is underrated, or excuse me, overrated. Mm. So that affects my decision, right? So if I say, oh, I haven't smoked this big, craggly, blasted Dunhill, what am I going to put in it? Probably going to be an English tobacco. Again, because that's just how my brain works. I see the gnarly sandblast, these bigger, bold pipes. I think they make English tobaccos taste really well. So that said, on the flip side, I might just be craving a blend, man. So if I'm craving something like Blackthorn Shillelagh, which I have been quite recently, or maybe my new blend, the second addition to the Get Piped Reserve Flannel Coffee, I want to go for something kind of something me-ish, Peterson-y. If it's Blackthorn Shillelagh, I'm 100% smoking in a Peterson. Doesn't matter necessarily the version. I'm just going to find one that, you know, I like for that particular day. But maybe like my new blend, Flannel Coffee, it reminds me of New Hampshire. I might smoke one of my estate L.L. Bean pipes. Did you know L.L. Bean made pipes? L.L. Bean is out of a Maine.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I got one on eBay for wicked cheap. It's in horrible condition, but that would make sense to me. That's how my brain works. I'm like, oh, New Hampshire blended tobacco, quote, blended tobacco. Let me smoke my New England-y pipe. Or maybe a Todd Brugman, you know, a pipe from Boston. So that's kind of how my brain works. I couldn't really say I pick a pipe first or a tobacco first, but typically it would probably be the pipe. But if it's a tobacco, I try to link the tobacco to a particular pipe. Maybe it's based on origin, based on vibe, based on feel, based on where I purchased it from. I don't know, something like that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, man. That has been Ask Adam Anything. If you have any more triple A's, then send them to our Discord, and that's the best place to do it. Or send them to show@getpiped.co.
And for our second segment, we got a little bit of Ask Nick Anything. We're going to get right into it. Our very first question is coming in from Caleb, Tampered Warrior. He asks, if you could smoke one tobacco blend for the rest of your life, what would it be? Ooh. This is interesting because we did just find out that you don't have your blend yet. But
yeah.
I guess at this current point, what would it be?
This may come out as a surprise. Maybe not. I don't know. But I had a blend maybe a couple weeks back, and it was just absolutely delightful. And I had it before, and it was very good as well. I liked it. It was delicious. It had a little bit of age on it. My personal stuff, I think, it was maybe a couple years. Nothing crazy. Not like some other people have it. But I don't know. I haven't smoked it since, so I'm not too sure if this is it, but I think it's one that it's not a small batch or anything like that. It's one that I think
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I think it's one that, like, realistically could be smoked for the rest of my life, but I think I would enjoy it. And that is Orlik Golden Slice. I don't want to sound too cliche here or anything, but like, I just love the kind of, you know, I always love how John David described it, like grassiness and hay, and like, it was very light for me. And I really enjoyed it. And there was nothing super special about it. And there was nothing that was not special about it. It was. And I think like some of these newer tobaccos with a lot of the spiciness and flavors, like I do like those. Don't get me wrong. Like I really like them. But I like something that's just kind of good, like just dependable. And I think that's what I would do. Maybe like a Cold Blood Red Moon. I really love that tobacco. That's a classic that I could just probably smoke forever. But I would go with the Orlik. It's, I think when I think about something I would want for the rest of my life, I think about something dependable. Like I could eat steak the rest of my life. That's something that's to me is just good to go. I don't need anything. Just need salt and steak and butter.
That's a good point. Cause that's like not your favorite food, but
nope. I mean,
that's a real, wow.
Yeah. It's not my favorite food. No, there's definitely other favorites. But like when I think about a ribeye steak or something, I'm like, yeah, I could probably eat that for the rest of my life.
That's a really good quick. Because normally, like what I thought when I read that question was, "What's your favorite thing ever?"
Yeah,
right. If you could only smoke one thing, you would want it to be the very best. But that's actually a very good point because, like, I infinitely love Domino's buffalo chicken pizza more than I love steak. But I couldn't eat Domino's. But like, you know, if in a realistic sense. I could eat steak every day.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't do Domino's buffalo chicken pizza. So that's actually a really, really good point. I love how you answered that. I think Orlik is a great one. I think that's a great answer.
And it's like both. I know that from like the community, they talked about how dependable it is, especially as it ages. In my experience with it, 100%. Something that I know will be the same for the most part throughout time. And maybe even get better as it goes on. So, yeah, that's what I would do.
And our final question is going to come from Pied Monicus. I always love hearing from you, man. Hope you're doing well out there. What is your realistic dream job? This is a great question because I actually don't know the answer to this. And I want you to answer in a way that is what is Nick's realistic dream job? Nick's realistic dream job to be because it coincides with my worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think about this a lot, and it would not be like a stay-at-home job. I don't think I'd want that. I like going somewhere. You know, I have changed my commute to be like 30 minutes. I mean, I say I changed it. It was a good change, and it was ultimately my guy who owns the business I work for and I, we agreed that this would be a good thing. So it wouldn't be that. I think it would be something where I work with people more, and your worldview may be my like dream job of, I think owning a place, owning a store
too, man,
or something along those lines. I know it's difficult. You know, I'm at a company with two people right now. Like there's two of us and we're grinding every day. But if I owned it instead of this other guy, like I feel like there could be more freedom but also more stress of having to run it. I think it'd be something that, you know, my kids could be involved in. Like producer wife and I have always dream about, you know, doing a coffee shop that's like family friendly, because there's so many that just have stuff everywhere that if you bring like kids or, you know, dogs or something, like we'd allow dogs there, like they would just like grab it or knock it off or something. I think you need to have a good aesthetic, but, so like, I don't know what like realm it's in, but owning some legitimate brick and mortar. Cause I think that that's dude, brick and mortar still strong. Like, people still want to go to a place. Like, I still love going to a coffee 100%. Shop. I want to go to, if there was one near me, I would want to go to a legitimate tobacconist. Like, you know what I mean?
Me too, man.
So
I have one near me, but like, it is like
just
a
far
45
enough.
To 50 minute trip. Yeah. Where it's like, if it was, I'm kind of glad it's not closer because I'd be spending a lot of money there, but, you get so much enjoyment there.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's in the realm of pipes and tobacco. Maybe it's in the realm of coffee. Maybe it's something entirely different. But like, there's this entrepreneurial spirit in me, which I want to do. And, you know, producer wife, like, just like you and I, man, producer wife and I are always talking about, like, how do we get out of this rat race that we're in? Like, how do we get out of the 9-to-5 rat race? And like, this idea that we have to, you know, do whatever to find enjoyment and then, you know, save up enough money to go on our vacation and do this and that. And it's like,
work for the weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's passive ways to do stuff, like whether it's writing a book or, you know, she's very artsy, like making something someone can print out online and they pay $2, $3 for. And you do that 1,000, 10,000 times. And it's like, no, okay, there's some stuff there. So, yeah, there's all that stuff. I think that's all realistic. I think those sort of things, you just got to do them, man. Like, there's obviously capital that you need with certain things when it comes to like a brick and mortar, but why not just rent?
I think,
like, there's an ability to rent.
I would say the tough part about that, which is something that I would love to, every day to be able to go to like a tobacconist and work there or whatever, mm-hmm. but the other part of it is like, while you might have escaped one 9-to-5, you're now working
on.
I would love to own a public house. Oh gosh, I would love that more than anything. But in a way where I'm not, and I've talked about this, where I have enough money to pay for someone else to be the manager, and I just get to go in and do the people thing.
Yeah.
I get to make the big decisions, the big level decisions, kind of cancel out the lame items on the menu that I don't want. But like, make the place very homey, make it a real true public house, or even if it's like a pipe store, like offer the things I like that I believe in. But when you're tied to it as like the true family startup coffee shop, mm-hmm. your ass is in there from 5 a.m. when you open until, you know, you close, and you know that.
And there's,
that's tough.
I imagine there's a balance of like, okay, well, the family like can come and hang out or do whatever. Like, producer wife and the kids aren't coming to my, you know, the work yard.
Yeah, you could argue it's still like, quote, better. And if it's, you know, this is where I got a foot in both camps, where people say like, if you never work for a day in your life, you're doing the thing you love. But then other people are like, oh, you never want to make your living off of the things you love, because then you start to resent the thing.
Yeah.
You love.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Haven't tried it really.
Never really tried it. Yeah. So I think those are realistic. Will they be done? I don't know. Time will tell. Like, I didn't expect to be where I am 2 years ago. You know what I mean? So who's to say something crazy is not going to happen another 2 to 3 years and another 5 to 10 years after that? Like, I'm not one to do 5-10 year plans. Like, I will be resourceful and plan for the future, like when it comes to financials and not doing anything stupid. But like, I'm not necessarily one to be like, I need to hit all these wickets to achieve this thing at 10 years from now. Cause it's like, I have no idea what next week is going to bring. And that's maybe not the best thinking, especially as someone who is a planner. Like, I'm definitely generally a planner mindset, but I don't see like getting caught up in future stuff when, you know, tomorrow sometimes isn't even promised. And that I'm not saying that in a cynical like way, but it's just, yeah, man, I'm loving this life right now. It's got its hardships, but you know, I'll get to 10 years and 10 years from now. So that's That's my answer. That's my realistic dream job. But if you have more questions for me, you can send them to that same Discord we were talking about earlier, or you can send them to that same email, show@getpiped.co. Brother, my brother Bear, brother to brother, we have come to the end.
Bear to bear.
Bear to bear. We've come to the end of the episode. Where can people find you if they want more than just this amazing long podcast?
They can find some long stuff on youtube.com/getpipe for some of the premier YTPC pipe smoking content.
True.
But if you're more of a short form guy, you wouldn't get to this part, so you wouldn't know. You can find me on Instagram @get_pipe. But if you follow me, make sure you follow my right-hand man, GPP_producer guy. Lastly, make sure to join the Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club, the ever-growing international, national, intergalactic, galactic, get pipe club. It's a great place to join, great place to chat, great place to hang. Great, join it. Discord.
The end of the episode, no. If you would be so kind, share this podcast with any and all pipe smoker. Give it a review too while you're there. The Spotify's, the Apple's. I don't think anyone else has reviews. I don't know. But we would greatly appreciate it. Share with any and all pipe smokers. New age, old age, middle age, whatever it may be. But don't just share it with the men. Share it with the women and the children too. But Adam, my friend, what are your wise words of wisdom this week?
I will say someone did send us a rating, a 5-star rating on Audible.
Oh.
So for you, for our one Audible listener, hell yeah. Thank you for that. But man, keep puffing your pipes. And that's like both in like a literal sense, like get out there, smoke your pipe. But it's also just keep puffing, man. Like whether that's actually smoking your pipe, maybe it's writing about pipes. Maybe it's talking about pipes. Maybe it's selling pipes, whatever it is. Maybe it's not even have anything to do with pipe tobacco or cigars or whatever. You know, just keep on keeping on, you know, keep hammering away at the railway. You know, just keep on at it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for hanging out and spending the time listening to this brother to brother. And if you skipped to the segments, hey dude, I want to thank you guys as well. Because it shows that, like, you know, you have the things you enjoy and then you have the things you don't enjoy, but you still came to listen to the pipe stuff at the segments. That also means the world to me. It really does. I don't care about the analytics of, I mean, maybe producer guy is, but he keeps all the things he knows I don't care about or wouldn't like out of my brain. So if you're skipping around, I don't know what that does for me or what that does for my show, but I just appreciate that you appreciate this show in some capacity. So. But for now, I am off to save the pipe smoking world. But once again, I'm not sure how I'll pull it off. But until then, you have all just been piped. And until the next piping, we are out.